The views and opinions expressed on this program aren't necessarily those of this station, but those of the sponsors, Armada Advisors.
Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. Good morning, this is Meg with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3. A little thunderstruck, this is by request from Trevor Odom, who's here with us this morning from Armada Advisors. And I'm laughing because as soon as I heard that, I think of football, pregame shows, all that kind of stuff. So good morning, Trevor, how are you today?
Good morning, I'm doing fine, how are you?
I'm good. It's great to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
So your dad was here. His father, Wesley Odom, is the president and owner of Armada Advisors. And Trevor's title is he's the vice president of Armada Advisors here in Pensacola. They're located at 1800 Northeast Street. They currently manage about $165 million. Whew, that's a lot. And specializes in all types of financial advising, from traditional wealth management to retirement planning and 401ks. Before Armada, Trevor worked in, this is who I'm talking to this morning, Trevor worked in Milan, Italy. Ooh, that's neat. As head of U.S. investments for Divere Italia. Currently, Trevor is an officer in the U.S. Coast Guard Reserve and a Johns Hopkins University graduate. What an impressive resume.
Thank you.
Congratulations. I'm so happy to have you this morning.
My pleasure to be here.
So how long have you been involved with your father's company? When did you come back from Italy?
So I started getting involved in 2020 as an analyst. He said, hey, you should start learning from stocks analysis, mutual fund analysis. You're going to need to know this in grad school. And I said, okay, fine. What am I going to do? Just sit here for 9 months? And I found out I really loved it. And I went and worked in Italy for about a year. And then I came back for the holidays. He said, hey, here's a good job offer. Why don't you work for me? And I've loved it. I love working with my dad, and I love making people's dreams become reality.
Well, it sounds like you're very successful. If you all are handling about $165 million in accounts and assets, that's pretty phenomenal. And my understanding is you have a great reputation in the community.
Thank you.
And you do a lot for the community. So that always makes a big difference.
Yes. We love helping the community and giving back because he and I are both born in Pensacola. And we truly believe, as Mayor Wibbs once said, Pensacola is a place where thousands live and millions wish they could.
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite quotes. One of my absolute favorite quotes. Okay, so it's 2025. We're 2 weeks in. Lots of transitions happening, lots of uncertainty. We were just talking before we went on air. It was hard to believe that we're already bringing in another president, that 4 years have gone by. That's just wild. So now, with 2024 behind us, it was a great year for the market.
It was.
So tell me a little bit about why, and what do you think did the election have something to do with it? What are some of the reasons we had such a good 2024?
So typically, if you look at elections in the past, the market does about an 8 to 12% year roughly. Last year, we had a much better year, and it largely was carried by the Magnificent Seven, which are, you know, NVIDIA, Facebook, Google, those companies that really did well. I mean, NVIDIA, obviously, everybody wishes they would have bought it in 2016.
Yes.
I remember I didn't buy it in 2016 because I just loved their graphics cards and thought they were going to be purely a graphic card company. And I was this close to buying it, and I didn't. So such is life. I could have been retired by now, right?
Well, there's a few things I've thought of over the years that I might have invested in that I'm kind of kicking myself for not.
Sure.
Hindsight's everything. I'm
exactly. But, I mean, when you have the market priced in a Trump victory about 2 or 3 weeks prior to him actually winning the election. You saw him meeting with all these CEOs, Jeff Bezos, a former CEO of Amazon, and people were kind of cozying up to President Trump. And that's when we kind of realized the market was pricing in a Trump victory. Because if you look at it, the market did very well under President Trump's years. Only in 2018 was it down just slightly.
Right.
People's 401ks were booming. And so the market was really looking to that. And so it would have been really interesting to see what if Vice President Harris won the election and how the market was. But ever since President Trump has won the election, the market, if you've really been looking at it day in, day out, like we do at Armada Advisors, it's kind of this holding pattern. The world doesn't really know what's going to happen with President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's going to bring peace to the Middle East and peace to Ukraine. He says he's going to make lower prices and try to stabilize the country's economy. But the market doesn't really know. So we're kind of waiting, and we're waiting for President Biden to leave his office on the 20th, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the market's gone up, the market's gone down. Like today, I know it's up significantly because we had some great inflation numbers and we had some great growth data. And so it's a very strange period, but the market really, we think, is going to go down in the following year, mainly just because it's had 2 years of over 23% returns.
It's been very profitable, yes?
It has been. And I mean, investors really are making a lot of money, especially if you're sticking with it and not sitting in a cash position. But we'll go into that more later.
Okay. Well, that's a great assessment. And then now we're kind of a little bit in this holding pattern, but that's going to change soon. And so what do you anticipate for 2025 now going forward? What do you see the market doing this year?
So
if you could put on your predictor psychic glasses.
Let me rub my crystal ball here real quick.
This is what you get paid the big bucks for, Trevor.
Exactly. So, I mean, a lot of people do just put in your standard index funds, standard mutual funds, but we at Armada do things a little differently. We think the market's going to go down mainly because it's just so many things have gone up and the market has to take a pullback. You can't have every single year be a stellar year for growth because it's just unsustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So we are diversifying our clients' portfolios. We look at different sectors that are historic have underperformed several years in a row because we figured out that roughly after 2 years of a downturn, for example, like healthcare, it's been down for the past 2 years, we've back tested it significantly and they perform well the following year.
Interesting.
So, but what we don't do is instead of investing in the whole sector, we try to look for the best companies in every sector. And so, yes, we use mutual funds, but we also look at, you know, the individual stocks. So we think while the market as a whole will do well, we believe that we'll be able to mitigate that significantly. And after all, that's why you go to financial advisors to help you in the good times, but even more so in the bad.
Right.
Because
right.
Everybody theoretically can invest when the market's going up because everybody's making money. But when it starts going down, that's when people don't know what to do. And that's why we as financial advisors come and say, here's a strategy. Let's diversify and reduce the risk. So while somebody may be down 20% in the market, if you invest in the correct stuff, stocks, bonds, a good mix, you can mitigate that significantly.
And you'll be okay.
Exactly.
So we're talking this morning with Trevor Odom. You're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And clearly, Trevor is an expert on the market with Armada Advisors. So if you have a question this morning, something that's been on your mind, especially as we come into the new year, text in your question at 850-437-1620. So going forward then, let's say I've never invested in the market before, and I'm just now maybe coming to some money, or I've got a little bit of extra cash, won a lottery. I don't know.
We do have occasional lottery clients.
Do you really?
Come in. It's...
Oh, no kidding. Okay, I was kidding, but okay, I wish I was one of them. But how does someone start? I mean, what do you do to get started?
I mean, the best
because it's
thing...
a little intimidating for someone that has
sure.
maybe didn't grow up in a family that sure. invested in the market. It can be very intimidating.
And so there's actually a statistic. I met with a colleague of mine who works for Wells Fargo Advisors. He said they have a statistic that is a client that comes into inheritance, your average American, runs out of their inheritance within 18 months. That is,
no.
And it's actually a very well-known statistic. And I see that myself with people
no
that come
kidding.
In with some money that have never really had money. They just blow through it. You know, DoorDash, a little credit card payment, those add up.
Right.
You know, but like
and
the
subscriptions now.
Exactly.
I
but
keep
the best
finding
thing
them.
You can do is like what you said. You already realize, hey, I just came into this money. I need to meet with somebody about it. Even if you don't, you know, choose a financial advisor and want to do it yourself, the best thing is to sit down, talk with somebody who can show you these different options, whether it's putting it into a trust, whether it's investing it, paying off debt. And that's what we do as financial advisors. We're not just asset managers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our meetings come from just consultations with people off the street saying, hey, I have this money. I want to manage it myself, but I want to talk to somebody who has an idea of the market and how things work in the finance world, because that's what it is. We all specialize in different things. Like, I don't know how to fix a car or repair anything. I'm not going to try to YouTube myself how to repair an engine. I'm going to take it to a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is in finance. You know, we all have different specialties, and that's what makes our economy grow and society successful.
The thing that's intimidating to me personally is that it's ever changing.
Exactly.
And the rules change, the inflation rates, everything seems to be constantly changing. So you do need someone, I think, in your corner that has experience, that knows the changes, what that's going to mean, what the impact's going to be.
Exactly.
And so if I came to you, how would we get started?
So first I'd look at your different account statements. We look at your objectives because not all, we don't treat clients as like a unique or as like a whole group. We treat you by
not a package kind
exactly.
of thing. Exactly.
Yeah. We treat every client as a unique person because we want them to realize, hey, we care about you. We want you to make sure your goals are met. We look at your whole financial plan, debts, income, everything like that. We're able to calculate your projected retirement based on growth and how much you can take out, et cetera, and also protect your assets. We're a full service financial advisor. We don't just, hey, thanks for your money. We just put in this mutual fund. We'll talk to you once a year.
Mm-hmm.
We actually do quarterly checkups, if not even more, to make sure our clients' needs are met because we realize that over time more people want that type of service. Now, we do have some clients that say, oh, hey, call me once a year unless something emergent is happening. So everybody's different, but we always tailor our needs to every single client because no one client's the same.
So you have a very important relationship with each one. So it's not a package deal. It's not something
exactly
that's done in mass. You're taking care of everybody individually.
Think of it like going to church, for example. If you go to a church where you're just a number, or a college that you're just a number, do you really feel like you know your preacher? Do you feel like you know your professor? You want to have a relationship with them. You want to be called by name. And that's why we've tailored that model, because we found that works the best. Because at the end of the day, life is about building relationships, not just experiences.
Absolutely. Totally agree. 100% on that one. All right. So in terms of building relationships, it is the new year. I'm trying to come up with my New Year's resolutions. And so I'm sitting here thinking, what would be popular, I guess, New Year's financial resolutions that you would recommend for folks?
So everybody says spring cleaning, and I say New Year's finance resolutions because I think it's very important that people look at your finances with your wife, spouse, significant other, or just if you live alone by yourself, and say, hey, where am I putting my money? Where am I doing this? Because if you put in $100, say age 25, mm-hmm. every single month, to cut out a few DoorDashes, because I know all of us use DoorDash and Uber mm-hmm. Eats just because of convenience. But if you just put $100 in a retirement account or a mutual fund individual account and let it just do that every year for the rest of your year until you're 65, depending on how the market grows, you could see about $200,000 to $300,000.
Really?
In retirement. And while that's not a lot.
Where were you when I was 25? Gosh.
And so it's about diligence. And so that's like the main advice I give people for New Year's resolutions. Just sit down. It's worth the money to pay a financial advisor. Usually come to our firm or go to another firm just to have a review of your finances, and you'll be really happy you did, because over time, you never know when that money that you're saving up could be an emergency savings account. If you have a surgery, you need to pay off a wreck, whatever it is. And so that's why it's so extremely important. And that's why I try to convey to all the young people that I know how important it is to invest in the market, because we young people have time on your favor, and everybody really does. And just a little bit can go truly a very long way in the long run.
So the best resolution is get started.
Exactly. It's never too late to start. Some people say, oh, if you start at 40 or 50, yeah, you're going to have to work a little harder for sure. But it's never too late to get started, because that means you're a step in the right direction.
So the big thing that I keep hearing about, that as an older American, I know very little about, which is crypto, Bitcoin, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, that is like a foreign language to me. And so, and I'm sure that it is for a lot of people, but now I've heard pros and cons. I've heard of scams and non-scams and people making a lot of people might be losing. What is your assessment about that? And maybe even give me a little crypto 101 and tell me what this whole thing is about.
So sure. So crypto, I have mixed opinions, and I know we as a firm have mixed opinions on crypto. We only directly invest in crypto for some clients through ETFs and funds that Fidelity offers, mainly because Fidelity is relatively new to the whole crypto. You can put it in your IRA, you can put it in your account, but Fidelity only offers Bitcoin and Ethereum crypto currently. I'm of the opinion that crypto is a speculative investment and should be limited in your portfolio. And if some people I know will strongly disagree with me on this. If there's a friend of mine listening right now, I'll probably get a text later about what are you talking
about. The text number 850-437-1620.
But my true opinion is, until I see it in Walmart that I can go into Walmart, swipe a card and pay in Bitcoin or Shiba or Dogecoin or whatever.
Okay, the last two I don't even know what you're talking about.
Sure.
Shiba?
It's a different coin.
Oh,
there's
gosh.
Tons of coins out there.
I'm trying to keep up, Trevor.
I know, there's a lot. But until I can walk in there and pay with a certain value in it, I'm not going to be able to go into Walmart, say, buy a Coke, and then by the time I get to the counter, I can't buy a Coke because the crypto's gone down. There's no really stability, and even these stable coins mm-hmm. have had severe problems in the past years.
Interesting.
So it's going to be very interesting to see what the Trump administration, even what the European Union does, because crypto is currently really decentralized, not really regulated.
Mm-hmm.
But when have you not known a government to regulate something? They want their
Is
money.
That a rhetorical question? Right. You should have seen that face he just gave me. Well, it's interesting because it certainly is something of the future. There's no question about that.
Sure.
And so as an investor, I'm thinking, do I need to get in on it now, or am I going to regret it later if I don't?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of pros and cons. I mean, look at the technology in the 1990s, early 2000s, going up and then suddenly plummeted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, crypto... The thing that I personally hate is that crypto is a 24-hour market. It's not really like what we have from 8:30 to 4 or 8:30 to 3 o'clock Central Time. market trading hours. It's all day. So you could be rich in the morning. By the evening time, it's done.
My heart can't take that.
And so it's a very risky investment for a lot of people. And mm-hmm. so that's why I say, unless you can stomach the risk, just stay away from crypto.
Okay, but here's a question from one of our listeners. Is a Bitcoin something I can put in my pocket like a dollar bill?
No, a Bitcoin is...
So, I'm with you. I'm so excited he sent that. Whoever that is, I love you for sending that in. That's like basic...
Sure. A Bitcoin is electronic.
Maybe explain what it is.
It's hard to explain without getting too technical, but mm-hmm. more or less, think of it as a quarter, but only electronic. It's only on the virtual world. You can't take it out and put it in a pocket. You could cash it in and send that money to your bank and pull out a dollar bill, sure. But it's purely based on what's called the blockchain. And that without going into too many details, because I'm not a crypto expert, it's based off this secure system. And so that way it's transacted on exchanges like Coinbase, Binance Financial, different brokerage houses have different exchanges. Kraken's another one. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have an account and own like a wallet in order to put it in. But no, it's not a physical instrument. It's all digital.
It's all digital.
It's digital currency.
And isn't there some people that there's a movement out there that wants to eventually go all digital with no cash? I think I've heard that in
That's
places.
Kind of going across the world right now. That is a movement. It'll be interesting to see if that really happens, because all it takes is you to lose power and you can't pay with a credit card. You can't pay with crypto. But what's always king? Cash.
And gold.
Silver.
Right.
It's always good to have hard physical assets to pay.
Okay, that was a great explanation. I hope that answered our listener's question. If you've got a question for Trevor with Armada Advisors, text it in, 850-437-1620. So now we're coming into the new year. We've got all these new laws that are coming in, things that are changing, laws that are passing. So in Florida, we now have recreational marijuana that passed last November. No, he's shaking his head. How did the failure of that, I'm sorry, didn't pass. How did the failure affect the marijuana industry? Sorry.
So we were all very shocked, I think, in Florida. I know there was a big one. There was Amendment 3, which was the marijuana legislation, mm-hmm. and Amendment 4, which was abortion. And so there was a very polarizing year in Florida. You even saw the government kind of get involved in the marijuana and also abortion politics. And so with marijuana, like all the stock market had processed in a marijuana legislation passing in Florida. Mm-hmm. I know Trulieve, which is a Florida-based cannabis company, their medical marijuana company based out of Quincy, Florida.
They have stores here.
They have stores here all over the state. They were opening up a lot of stores. And as soon as they the next day we knew that it failed, their stock just plummeted.
Oh, gosh.
They're still a very profitable company. There's only really three medical marijuana companies that are profitable in the United States. It's Trulieve, Curaleaf, and Green Thumb Industries. And so it's really going to be interesting to see what happens. But I see a lot of potential in the marijuana industry. I see kind of like the early days of tech, but the large part is it's still hidden behind law. We haven't still passed a Secure Banking Act in Congress yet. We still haven't passed the reclassification of marijuana from a Schedule 3 to Schedule, or whichever way, I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. I read so much news every day, but it's being rescheduled. And so we're still waiting on the final decision for that. And so once they reschedule it from like, you know, a narcotic to a more of a prescription style, like codeine in a way, mm-hmm. it will be a very big boom for the marijuana industry.
Interesting.
And so I think it's personally a long-term hold. I know we do hold, a lot of our clients do hold medical marijuana positions and Trulieve for other firms. And so it really will depend, A, what's your risk tolerance? And that's why we have a one-on-one financial meeting to get to know the client. I have one client who is so vehement against Amazon, they refuse to put Amazon in their portfolio.
Interesting. So, well, because there are certainly personal biases against companies.
Exactly. And marijuana is one of those. Do I have like a personal vendetta against it? We take that all into account when we build clients' portfolios, because we want people to be happy at the end of the day, but also not go against their morals.
Well, you mentioned something, risk tolerance. Talk a little bit about that.
So risk tolerance is basically how much risk can I afford to tolerate? Like for me as a personal investor, I have a very high risk tolerance. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of risky investments on the stock market, but I never do that for my clients. I treat my clients like if I was working with my grandmother, or if I was working with a friend who trusted me with a lot of money, how would I want their money to grow? And how would they want their money to grow? So that's why I always ask questions to all my clients. What different, like, if you sold out at this price, or if you invested in this and the stock dropped, say 20%, how would you feel? And because I've had some stocks that have dropped 50% and they've come back and made money. And so it just depends what your risk tolerance is. And I know some people can't stomach the thought of their portfolio dropping, so they're in a very conservative position.
So they do something that's just going to have occasional up and downs, but nothing drastic.
Exactly.
Okay, very smart.
It just depends. Every person is different, and thank God we're all different, because otherwise life would be very weird, I think.
No doubt. And we're different in the U.S., no doubt about that.
Definitely.
Okay, so when talking about stocks, and when you were talking about your personal investments, what's your favorite stock now? What was your favorite stock in 2024?
So in 2024, I had like a few that were really good. I like Jackson Financial a lot. They're the largest annuity firm in the United States. They had stellar returns for our clients.
Interesting.
NVIDIA, obviously, great company. I love NVIDIA's business model, and I think that's what they're going to do good long term. NVIDIA is just very, very successful.
And what do they do?
So primarily, originally, they were just graphics card and computer chips. Now they've gone to cloud gaming. They've done to Blackwell. They're the founders behind ChatGPT.
And there's
more and more AI projects that I don't even know how to pronounce the names that they're getting into. And they really are the forefront of this market. And so they're making so much money. It's almost like they're like printing money like the Federal Reserve in a way.
Interesting.
And so it's going to be interesting long term to see how they grow, if they still can capitalize on this growth, or if it's just hype. I think they're still going to be able to capitalize because Jensen Huang, who's the CEO of NVIDIA, really is a talented individual. He knows how to lead the company, and they're continuing to come out with innovation and cloud computing. So everything's going to the cloud. And it's, we have Dropbox, we have iCloud, we have other small solutions, but NVIDIA's enabling it to run off smaller and smaller and smaller servers. And so maybe one day you could have, you know, your a huge amount of cloud just on your phone.
It's incredible, the technology, how it's changing.
It is.
But to get in on it now, as it's happening, you could make a lot of money.
I mean, look at NVIDIA back in 2016. If you would have bought $3,000 of NVIDIA and held it till today, you'd have made several hundred thousand dollars.
Unbelievable. Wow, that's amazing. So you have NVIDIA, and then I'm curious about, just because I see so many ads, so many advertisements, so much in the conversation about pharmaceutical companies and drug companies. How are they as investments?
So pharmaceuticals are a risky sector to begin with, mainly because all it takes is one bad news about a drug to go down. We invested a long time ago in a company called MyMedics, and they had a bone marrow drug. And it was really successful up and then until phase two. And then when they reported their phase two results, it turned out to be not a hoax, but hey, this drug actually doesn't work. All the placebos and all this
is not how
we thought it was going to turn out. And it sent the stock price tumbling over the next few days by 50%.
Oh my gosh.
And so it's you have to be very careful when you invest in different pharmaceuticals. I mean, another company is Moderna, which was one of those.
Well, I was going to say, if you got in on the Ozempic craze, would that have been a good investment, Moderna?
Moderna doesn't do Ozempic, to my knowledge. I could be completely wrong. I was thinking more of Moderna back when the COVID vaccine, because they had
the
COVID vaccine. And if you invested beforehand, it went up really, really high. But recently, Moderna's slashed their guidance for revenue estimates in the coming year. And their stock is like not almost at an all-time low, but it's close.
Interesting.
It's not doing well as a company. So it just goes to show you can have one really good drug or vaccine, and certain world events have propelled it, and it still can go down, because ultimately a company's financials is going to determine how the stock is. Not all the time, but 95% of the time, a company's financials will eventually pull the stock up or down.
So these new, on the same note, then the new diabetes weight loss drugs, the companies that run those, are they doing really well now?
Eli Lilly, Novo Nordisk did Wegovy. And so there's, I wouldn't be surprised if some pharmaceutical companies try to capitalize, because Wegovy was really the first one with Novo Nordisk, and now you have Ozempic. And America's become a society that we much rather, instead of exercise, unfortunately, we'd rather, hey, doc, can I just have a pill, or is there a prescription for this? It's so much easier. And so that's capitalism at its finest. I mean, if you sell a product, people are willing to pay. That's the beautiful thing about our society. And that's how people can make money, from your average American all up to the huge pharmaceutical companies.
So interesting. This is Trevor Odom. He is with Armada Advisors. He is the vice president of the company. His father, Wesley Odom, is the president of Armada. We're going to come back with Trevor after the news here and talk some more about what to expect in 2025, where we're headed on the stock market. So don't go away. And Trevor, do you have a number or a website we can give out to folks in case they have to leave? What's your website and phone number?
It's www.armadaadvisors.com. or my email is todom@armadaadvisors.com.
Okay, so we'll be back in just a few minutes after the news. If you have a question or comment for Trevor, we've got some more time coming up here. He'll be here till 11, 850-437-1620. You're listening to Pep Talk with Meg on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And we're back. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Meg with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And for the next half hour, we're going to continue chatting with Trevor Odom, who is with Armada Advisors. He has a, my favorite word, plethora of information about the market, investments, how we did in 2024, how we're doing heading into 2025. So good morning, Trevor. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
He is so knowledgeable already. We've been having a couple of discussions off the air while we were listening to the news. So talk a bit about 2025, what to expect and where we're headed.
Sure. So, you know, every financial advisor loves to find the diamonds in the rough.
Like, yes.
What are the stocks to invest in? Everybody wants to find the next NVIDIA. We want to find the ones that are going to go up the fastest. And so, you know, one stock I ended up purchasing in 2024 for a lot of my clients, and it wasn't the most profitable company, but it was really had some good potential because I do like looking at different companies. Like we just talked about pharmaceuticals. I like looking for drugs that are going to really help your average American, help everybody. And this one company called Intracellular Therapies,
mm-hmm.
The stock ticker is ITCI, India Tango Charlie India, and it is a company that was making a drug for depression. It was a revolutionary way. It was extremely successful, and it was really able to target. I don't understand, you know, how the human body, you know, all works necessarily. Biology was a long time ago in high school, but it would really...
Clearly you moved in a different direction.
I clearly did. It was really a fascinating company. Did they make a lot of money? Not really, but fundamentally, they had a large amount of assets, decent cash position, and they had a low amount of debt. And so we bought a position for it in several of our clients' accounts. And in just over 3 months, our clients made 70% in this stock alone.
Wow.
We've sold that position recently, mainly because Johnson & Johnson just the other day, I believe today, on Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember which day it was, they announced that they're going to buy the company because they saw such a potential in there.
That's big news.
When that happens, a stock that knows for 100% is going to get purchased, the stock kind of goes up a little down, but it pretty much flatlines. So it's selling almost at the all-time high for the stock. So we look for companies like that that have really good potential that are undervalued. Another good company is that we really believe in. I still have a lot of healthcare stocks because healthcare has been down significantly over the past 2 years. We expect it to recover this year. I mean, because all these healthcare companies are not going to go out of business. Like Humana, they have a lot of the Medicare plans. They have all the TRICARE for the military.
Mm-hmm.
If Humana fail, we have a much bigger problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even with the killing of the CEO of United Healthcare, sure, did that affect the stock price? Definitely. But it's still not going to go out of business. Insurance is here to stay. Another company that I really like is Amgen. Amgen is a beautiful pharmaceutical company. They're making a phenomenal drug on different lung cancer. And it had a very successful phase 1 trial. Their phase 2 was very successful, but not as successful as what Wall Street analysts said so. And so a lot of people invest like off Zacks, off the Motley Fool. And it's just your average analyst from Wall Street chiming in their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so these analysts say their predictions, and when it doesn't happen, because they work for these huge hedge funds, wirehouses, et cetera, the stock goes down. I mean, the reality, there's no reason to get out of the stock. It's just because the market factors in the news effect. Their phase 2 trial was still extremely successful, so successful enough that it went to phase 3. And if this drug works out, it'd be a one of a kind. And Amgen's always trying to find new ways to revolutionize the healthcare industry. And we believe that Amgen really is going to go up long term.
That's so fascinating. How do you find out about these things? I mean, clearly this is what you do, but I just find it fascinating that you get this background and you're so knowledgeable about what's happening.
Sure. So, I mean, we look at a lot of different stocks every single day. I mean, obviously we have a lot of holdings that are similar, Amazon, Google, Facebook, et cetera. We look at different stocks and always try to find. One of my favorite things to do is I go down and look at the 52-week lows, which is stocks that have the lowest stock price over the past year. And I look through the companies and say, hey, I haven't heard this one, or I've heard of this name. Why is, I'll just pick a random number or random name. Why is, you know, even though it's not JP Morgan at a 52-week low, for example, it's obviously not right now, but like if it was, I research why it is. And sometimes there's just no reason other than they fell on some hard times, CEO change, a merger failed. Like Humana was supposed to merge with another company, take over, but the merger failed, and that's why their stock price went down.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to see this. And when a stock goes down and it's a very good company, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with it, I like to say, hey, this could be a really good opportunity for my clients. And it's really well paid off over time.
So speaking of your clients, you have a very good track record. Talk a little bit about that.
So our annual return this past year was phenomenal. We have one client, our most aggressive client, who's extremely aggressive in his portfolio. He made 124% last year.
Oh, my goodness.
Our average client return for like those who have a, you know, have a lot more risk tolerance but are still more moderate, they had about a 23 to 32% return. Our average client, though, which is they outperformed the market, they had about a 23% return. And even our conservative clients that are in bond portfolios, that are in, you know, more bonds and then in funds and bond funds and even some equities, they had an average return about 10 to 16%. So for a conservative portfolio, that's people say, oh, you only generate 5 to 7, we're almost doubling that. Now we do have some people that are 100% bonds. Mm-hmm. In those portfolios are about 5 to 8%, depending if they had any equity position and they're even so small whatsoever. But so we really do take care in all of our clients. We really try to outperform the market. And that's why what sets us apart, segueing into another thing, is why would you choose Armada Advisors versus, you know, there's a lot of good financial firms out there. There's a lot of stockbrokers. There's a lot of wirehouses. Why would you want to invest with someone like us? And the reason what I believe sets us apart is because, number one, my father, who founded the company, is like Armada Advisors, because back in the time, like when ships were at sea, you know, you got into a fleet, an armada. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you sailed together, you had much stronger odds of surviving a storm, a battle. And the people who drifted off were the ones that perished in battle or to a storm.
Oh, I love that. So that's how you came up with the name.
The stock market, exactly. Yeah. People who drift off the path kind of disappear. Mm-hmm. Not disappear necessarily, but like they do not outperform the market. They underperform. And so that's why we came up with that name. What we do is, instead of just, hey, I'm going to invest you in some mutual funds or a group of funds or a model portfolios, we don't do model portfolios at Armada. We look at, hey, what's the best stocks for my client? How can I get my clients' returns above average so that they're happy and I'm happy? Because, yes, we have some clients that definitely only want bonds, only want mutual funds, and we accommodate their needs. But by looking at the unique needs and unique goals of every single person, we're able to put them strategically in their portfolio. So we're able to actually physically buy real individual companies, mutual funds, ETFs, all the different investment classes except for really crypto, and put them in a portfolio. And we actually, it's like owning your own mutual fund. Mm-hmm. Like your portfolio is almost like its own mutual fund. And so it's not just a basket of funds that we're charging money on. It's actually real active management in there to get you the best return.
That's great. So we're talking with our expert this morning, Trevor Odom with Armada Advisors. Have you got a question or a comment? Text it in, 850-437-1620. So one of the things we've touched on is how things are ever changing, and AI is the big, you mentioned ChatGPT earlier, sure. And now it's going to have an effect. What are your thoughts about all of that, and what kind of effect will it have for us? Or is there any way to even predict at this point?
Sure. So AI definitely was, it kind of took the market by storm, as we all know, with NVIDIA 2022, 2023. There's a lot of companies now trying to get in on OpenAI. I mean, there's so many AIs you can type in on Google. I don't even know the names all. And there's so many, oh, you can draw a picture one. Oh, it comes up with a video.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, shoot, there was some things in the election that you didn't know if it was real or not, because, and it turned out it was AI. And so it's a lot of, the real question is will we be able to get to AI to a point that it will take away our jobs? And that's the thing I worry about, because right now AI is more of a complementary tool to help. Because, for example, I mean, I use, I'm good at math. I can write a great math formula on paper, but sometimes I just can't put that formula that I know is right into computer language. So that's why I use ChatGPT to help me translate it, to put it into an Excel sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I think AI is here to stay. I'm worried. I hope it doesn't overtake too many jobs and put Americans out of work. There needs to be some sort of legislation to protect jobs and prevent AI from just completely taking over. Because people are like, oh, it can take over this, it can take over that. Well, I mean, what? Then why are we going to do that if it's going to, what's going to happen to everybody who doesn't have jobs?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I worry about. I think AI is very beneficial to aid people and help people in their current jobs. I just worry about what the future implications. Maybe I'm becoming too Skynet and the Terminator, and we need Arnold Schwarzenegger to come back and, you know, save the Earth again. I don't know.
Well, there is that. Well,
you
it's
did
scary.
Say, I'll be back.
But. Yes, exactly. I'll be back. It is a little scary because it's new technology, and it's interesting. I was at a seminar recently where they were talking about the technology is changing so rapidly. We have had more changes probably in the last 20 years than we had from the beginning of time for mankind. Like, we have just everything has changed so rapidly.
I mean, think about it this way. In 100 years ago, in 1924, you know, we had cars that didn't go very fast. Mm-hmm. The telephone was, like, you know, only landlines. You know, radio communications were very much in its infancy still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we still had a lot of horses on the streets and everything.
Yes.
And now, 100 years later, we're already, like, we're sending space shuttles farther and farther. We can go sending them to the sun. I mean, it's the amount of technology that has changed since the dawn of the 20th century
mm-hmm.
and the 21st is fascinating. And you could go on hours and hours about
right.
how this changed. But
yes. Well, and so that brings up technology stocks. And what we talked a little bit about it in the last half hour, but what are your thoughts on that going for 2025 with AI being one of the factors?
So AI really kind of led technology last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it a little bit earlier, how the Magnificent Seven stocks, those golden seven companies and NVIDIA being one of them. I mean, there's still lots of good technology firms out there. I'm very fond of AMD, which is another chip processing firm. I mean, Taiwan Semi is another chip firm. They produce 50% of the world's computer chips
wow.
out of Taiwan. So that's why you hear in the news, oh, China's going to take over Taiwan. Well, if they do, it's going to be really problematic because that's 50% of the world's chips.
Mm.
And so I know Taiwan and the U.S. government are working to bring a lot of those companies' factories to the United States.
Mm-hmm. I have read that, yeah.
And so there's a lot of gems in the technology sector, but there's also a lot of technology firms that have fallen through that have not really made the mark, so to say, and they're getting bought out or just completely going out of business. I really like, for example, Intel they're making Intel chips, Intel processors. They were stable for a long time, but ever since AMD, NVIDIA, even SMCI, before SMCI had these problems, Intel was considered a really good competitor. Now they've kind of they're on hard times. Will they ever go out of business?
Isn't
no.
Isn't that funny? Because they used to be the innovator.
Exactly.
Gosh.
I mean, I saw something the other day. Broadcom, the first IBM processor was so big. It was almost the size of this
room
that we're in now.
Well, now,
and now that same processor is almost the size of your hand.
Yes. Well,
thousands of times faster.
When I was in college, we had to take a computer class, which had the computer data cards.
The floppy disk too and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was very different. We've come a long way, put it that way.
I remember
way.
We were cleaning out our old office before we moved to East Street, and I actually found like a stack of floppy disks. And I asked my my father
yeah.
and the other guy who was working, I was like, what the heck are we still using these for?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, okay, Trevor? It wasn't that long ago. All right, so we're going into a new year. We've got a new president coming in. What are your thoughts? We've got about 10 minutes left here. We can talk about some things.
You know, the new year, I'm full of optimism. I have a lot of friends call me and say they're full of optimism. And I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. I like to see the best in the world. I truly wish, you know, whether you feel about President Trump or not, as Americans, the best we can do is support the president. And we want him to succeed because the president's successes are our country's successes. And his failures are our country's failures. And whether you disagree with President Biden, I wish the same. And if it was President Harris, you know, I would wish her all the best if she was going to become the president. Because at the end of the day, that's who the American people elected. We have to respect the choice of the American people. And that's how we become a stronger economy, we become a stronger country, and that we can have more wins for our country and the global stage and the world as a whole. Because America, whether we like it or not, we're the world police and we promote democracy abroad. And I mean, if America was so bad, why did all these people in Afghanistan risk their lives to try to escape on those planes?
Mm-hmm.
And all these people coming to the U.S. across the southern border. America still, the idea of America is still here.
Well, I still think we're the light in the world.
I like to think that too.
Yeah. All right. So now with the fires out in California, how will that affect? We certainly do have a lot of technology companies out there. Any of your thoughts on that affecting the market? Have we seen anything yet?
I haven't really seen anything too much. The market, yes, we know that the market is priced in a little bit of these wildfires, but it's not really affecting too much in the market per se, because the market has bigger problems to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really my opinion there. I don't want to go too much in depth about it because I'm not as knowledgeable. I haven't really read too much up on the wildfires, especially affecting the market, mainly because all that you see on the news are the emotional stories right now.
Right.
That's very sad. And it breaks my heart. This what's happening to the people of California. And there's a lot of rumors going around, and it's just best not to spread fake news or anything that's not true or anything like that.
No, I know. It's hard to discern the truth sometimes. Sure. So getting back to investments and stock, I know you talked about a little bit about Fidelity Investments. Talk to me about that.
So we use Fidelity as our primary custodian. We also use a little bit of Charles Schwab, but mainly Fidelity. That's where the majority of our assets are. And Fidelity really is a growing company. They're now the world's largest 401k provider. They've surpassed Vanguard as
the
world's largest 401k provider. They really have phenomenal customer support. And what's drawn Wesley and I to stay with Fidelity is their phenomenal institutional customer support for our clients. Like when my clients call a question, I can easily call Fidelity and I talk to an American on the phone who I can understand it. And I'm not passed off to some call center in the third world. Like I am sometimes with other, I've used Interactive Brokers before and they put me with a guy on the phone in Bangladesh.
Oh, that's not good.
Didn't even speak that much English.
And oh, so I hate that.
I take care of my clients and I want to get answers to my clients in a timely manner. And so that's why Fidelity just also has, number one, high security against scams, protection of people's assets, and just phenomenal service for people.
Okay, I have a great question that just came in from one of our listeners.
Sure.
I have no investments at this time, so how much money does it take to start investing?
Some firms have a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have I only take $100,000 or $1 million or whatever. But, you know, for me, I have no minimum. I take people anywhere. I want people to succeed. I like to help people as much as I can because the more people that learn and how to invest is how you become rich. That's how you start creating generational wealth to leave behind for your kids. So now you need literally $1 to start.
Really?
I have some people that need at least put $25 a month. And it's never too late to start. And the earlier you start, the better and the happier you'll be in the long term.
That's great advice. So I hope that answered your question because you could start really with any amount.
Exactly.
So that's good.
I mean, even if you don't work with me and my firm, it never hurts to reach out to a financial advisor because I always give all my first consultations free because I want to try to help people. And if I can't help people, I will flat out admit it in the meeting and say, hey, I can't help people, but I think you should see, Joe Smith or Jane Doe at this firm who's more tailored to that type of investing.
Well, that's a good piece of information then. So the initial consultation with you or your father would be free.
Yes.
To take a look at where your finances are. Do you own a home? Do you rent? All the different factors that come into play and then come up with a long-term plan.
Exactly. And that's because we want to help people. And the more people we can help, the more people that are successful.
And that's such a great thing. And that's why I think, too, we had talked about the fact that it is your own business and not necessarily part. There's advantages, I suppose, to the bigger franchises. But I also think I shared with Trevor that my brother-in-law is a financial advisor, but he has his own firm. And so he really cares about the relationships. And I hear that in what you've said and what your father has said. You care about those relationships and the well-being of your clients. So they can pick up the phone and call you and ask a question. Exactly. And that makes a big difference.
It does. It really does.
And there's so much happening and the market at times can be so volatile.
Exactly.
It's nice to be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, am I okay?
Exactly. That's what we have a lot of calls when the market goes down. And there's some days I always joke and say, hey, we got no calls in today. And then it's like my secretary will say, yeah, because the market's up.
Right, right. Okay, well, we touched a little bit on money markets and, there's trillions of dollars still sitting in money markets. So do you have any advice for investors who maybe sat on the sidelines this past year, just waiting for volatility to calm down? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, there's a lot. I think we're at a record over $6 trillion. I read a statistic the other day in money market, which is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are cashing on the huge percentage that money markets have been paying over the past few years, over 5%. Now we're about 4.5, 4.6% per year in money markets. And so, with the market potentially going down into a downturn this year and already starting to show signs of that, now is the perfect time to buy in cheap. And it's really about the time in the market. And so that's why I really think that people, it's still good to keep money in cash.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I try to keep no more than 3-5% of my clients' portfolios in cash unless there's some reason that they need it. Because it's just over time, you have to keep up with inflation. And inflation sitting in cash forever is not going to outkeep inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's important, look at your savings account. If you have hundreds of thousands of dollars in your savings account, most likely your savings account's paying 0.00% something.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really making money on a savings account. Look at your expenses, at least 6 months of expenses in your for emergency expenses in your saving accounts in case you get laid off,
mm-hmm.
in case you have a medical bill. But then put that money to work for you. putting it in the stock market, because that's the only true way. Even crypto, like if you do are more aggressive, crypto or stock market is the only way to outperform inflation over time.
Mm-hmm. That is great advice. So I am very impressed. this sounds like you just have so much information. So if someone wanted to get in touch with you to set up an appointment, what would they need to do?
So it's really easy. You can call our office at 850-497-6167. Or you can reach out to me via email at TODOM at Armada Advisors, or you could just, a shorter email is info at Armada Advisors. Okay. Give us a call. We'd be happy to walk you through what you need to do, statements, whatever you need to bring to your first meeting. And we really want to get to know you, what your financial goals are, so we can best help you up for success.
That sounds great. So we have a couple minutes left here. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you'd like to touch on today? We've been talking about what 2024, and we were heading into 25, the new president, the new market. There's been a lot of conversations about inflation and what's going to happen. What are some of your thoughts on that?
So, I mean, I think the question that I get most asked these days is, like, if I was starting over again, you know, even at age 20, or if I was starting at age 40 or 50, what's one piece of advice that you as a financial advisor would give to me?
That's a great question.
Average Joe. And it really boils down to this. If you look at Warren Buffett, he owns Berkshire Hathaway, which is a huge investment firm that owns, you know, Occidental Petroleum, et cetera. It's phenomenal. I mean, he's done a phenomenal return over time for his clients.
Mm-hmm.
And he published a story, one of his annual reports, which is kind of like the report on how the company's done over the year. He writes these beautiful letters. I highly encourage you, if you've never read them before, to read it. And he said, I bought my first stock in 1942. And, you know, 1942, America was at war.
Yes.
We were at war against the Nazis and the Japanese Empire. And we fought a war tooth and nail to win for democracy, for freedom, and so that people could have self-determination to choose how they want themselves to be governed.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of downturns. And then if you notice, the market kind of went down and then was down to 42. And then after the battle midway in June 6th of 1942, it started going back up. And ever really since then, the market's had its ups and downs. Vietnam, you know, Berlin Wall going down, it went up, you know, all these, the Cuba affair, missile crisis, mm-hmm. all these different times. And even, you know, in 2001, 9/11, you had 2008, the market crash. You had 2018, you had 2020, 21-ish. The main thing is, it's all about never betting against America, because even as bad as things are, America still is a strong country. We have a strong military who fights for freedom, who protects us daily. We have strong markets. The world turns to us. And even with this thing of BRICS that the Russians and Chinese are trying to turn the world away from the dollar, it's only really working in third world countries.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like the world's still turning to America. And it's more about time in the market and never betting against America, because if you never bet against America and truly believe in America, the stock market is going to continue to go up and people will become wealthy.
Okay, we're going to have you come on again and we're going to talk about you running for president.
Nah.
We've been talking morning with Trevor. Trevor
much.
Odom with Armada Advisors. It's obviously someone you would want to talk to about your financial well-being. So thank you for being here today. One more time with your phone number. Got about 5 seconds.
850-497-6167.
All right, thank you so much. You all have a great day and take care of yourselves and be safe.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.